ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Which verse is it? 22?
22,
yeah. Okay, canto first.
I think that's the last one. We're wrong, right?
Yeah.
Chapter 8, text 22. Nama Pankaja Nabhaya.
Nama Pankaja Nabhaya.
Nama Pankaja Maline.
Nama Pankaja Maline.
Nama Pankaja Netraya.
Nama Pankaja Netraya.
Namaste Pankaja Agrahe.
Namaste Pankaja Agrahe.
Yeah, you can repeat maybe.
Nama Pankaja Nabhaya.
Nama Pankaja Nabhaya.
Nama Pankaja Maline.
Nama Pankaja Maline.
Nama Pankaja Netraya.
Nama Pankaja Netraya.
Namaste Pankaja Jangare.
Namaste Pankaja Angraye.
Okay,
so translation purport by Srila Prabhupada. Vangre Srila Prabhupada ki jai. My respectful obeisances are unto you, O Lord, whose abdomen is marked with a depression like a lotus flower, who are always decorated with garlands of lotus flowers, whose glance is as cool as a lotus, and whose feet are engraved with lotuses. Purport. He had some of the specific symbolical marks on the spiritual body of the personality of Godhead, which distinguish his body from the bodies of all others. I'll just comment, you know. Let me just start. Om Agyanati Madantasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmulitam Yena Tasmay Shri Gurve Nama Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Supatantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Ptananda Shri Dvadavasadi Gaur Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. Okay, so Srila Prabhupada is mentioning that Krishna has distinguishing bodily marks from other people. So Sri Rupa Goswami explains in details the bodily features of Krishna. And we want to know him? Yes, we want to know him. We want to, as a devotee whose goal is love of God, who loves Krishna, he wants to know everything about Krishna. How he looks, how he talks, how he walks. That is love. There's no meaning to love without knowing that person. And that is why Rupa Goswami, Jiva Goswami, our other acharyas, they have in details explained about eyes of Krishna. And Kunti Maharani is praying about the navel of Krishna, the eyes, the lotus feet of Krishna. And how does the lotus feet of Krishna look? How many marks are there in lotus feet of Krishna? It's there, it's all details. No, it's there in Padma Puran. How many marks are there?
19.
Yeah, good. 19 marks in lotus feet of Krishna. And Radharani?
I think it's like close to 21, 21.
No. Okay, fine. We'll check it out. Check it out. So yeah. So we are interested to know that. That's all. So we have two, we have sadhana bhakti. We are all sadhana, doing sadhana bhakti. We are practicing devotion. And practicing devotion is divided into two parts, vaidhi bhakti and raganoga bhakti. We all know this. When we are persons who are practicing vaidhi bhakti, they are not so interested to know about Krishna. They want to know, but they want to know because they want to understand Krishna. No? But people who are in Raganuga Bhakti, who are advanced, they want to know Krishna, not because they want to understand Krishna, because they want to know Krishna. That's all. Simple. Just for knowing's sake. They like him. So just like you have a milk. So if you have a milk, if you go to a market, if you go to a mall, you want to know what are the components of that milk. okay, how many calories, how many proteins, tick, whatever it is. And you research and you take the best, you buy the best milk. One, you can do like that. Another thing you can do is, if you like the milk very much, you can go to the market and you can see the milk which tastes the best, which you have tasted before. You like it. And of course, you know the components. And you go and you just buy that milk. So this is difference between Vaidhi and Raghunaga. Vaidhi Bhakti, devotee is more interested in knowledge of Krishna than Krishna. Is it? And Raghunaga Bhakti, devotee is interested in Krishna more than his knowledge. It is in both levels, devotee has knowledge of Krishna. But in one level, knowledge is more important than God, like for us. But at Raghunaga Bhakti, Krishna is more important than knowledge. It is not that at the level of Raghunaga Bhakti, devotee doesn't take knowledge. That's a wrong idea. Some people say at the level of Raghunaga Bhakti, devotee simply loves God. No knowledge. That's a wrong idea, no? It's a wrong idea. Priorities change. As simple as that. Priorities change, no? If you have a friend, just a new friend, okay, fine, you're interested to know more about him. No? You're not so much attached to him, but you're interested to know more about him. But when you develop a relationship after many years, then you want to know about him, but that's not more important. More important is his friendship. You know, I should not lose him. That's the idea, no? So that is Raghunaga and Vaidhi. Kunti Maharani is at the level of even beyond Raghunaga. She is Bhav, she is Prema Bhakti. And that is why she is describing the Supreme Lord. Prabhupada continues. They are all special features of the body of the Lord. The Lord may appear as one of us, but is always distinct by his specific bodily features. This is important because if you want to recognize God, an incarnation of God, there are two things. How do you recognize him? So I think there was a discussion between Lord Chaitanya and Sanatan Goswami. So Sanatan Goswami was discussing with Lord Chaitanya, and he tried to trick Lord Chaitanya. Anyway, Lord, he tried to trick that. Just for his pleasure, that's all. You can trick God for his pleasure. It's not a bad idea. But only for his pleasure, not for your own things. So just like gopis, they trick Krishna by stealing his flute. But that is, Krishna likes that. So Lord Chaitanya, Sanatan Goswami asked Lord Chaitanya, okay, so can you please tell me what are the signs of incarnation of God? He's asking Lord Chaitanya, and he knows Lord Chaitanya is God himself. Lord Chaitanya says, Sanatan Goswami, Sanatan, don't try to be clever with me. You want to make me say from my mouth what are the incarnation, what the signs of incarnation of God? And you know, he didn't speak, but it was communication, you know. And you know that I am a secret of that. I don't want to say from my mouth that I am incarnation. So so Lord Chaitanya said, okay, fine. Anyway, you're asking me, so I'll tell you. The symptom of an incarnation of God is, what did he say? You know? So if Sanatan Goswami is clever, Lord Chaitanya is more clever than him. He said, okay, the symptom of incarnation of God is that he will never speak from his mouth that he is incarnation of Godhead. That's a sign. He'll never say, I am God. He'll never say that. Except Krishna. Krishna said, he is God. He's original. He's not an incarnation. So that's how we can. But an incarnation will never say, I'm God. So Sanatan Goswami, okay, fine, you know, like, so but then Mahaprabhu said afterwards, okay, fine, you can know, this is the first symptom, and the second symptom is by his bodily features. You can recognize whether he's God or not. And that's what Srila Prabhupada says, that we can recognize by his bodily features, because he'll not tell us, like Lord Chaitanya, how do you know he's God? Well, you can say from scriptural evidences. Scriptural evidences are there, but they are not so explicit. they are not so evident. You don't find Lord Chaitanya's proof of Lord Chaitanya's incarnation in Vedas. It's not there. It is there, but it is not explicit. It is implicit. You find in Mahabharata, you find in Vishnu Sahasranam, but it's not, there's no name and like that. Bhaktivinoda Thakur revealed Upanishad, Chaitanya Upanishad, where Bhaktivinoda Thakur claims that these are the evidences of Lord Chaitanya's incarnation, but many people do not accept it, other sampradayas. So that can be put at aside, but as far as Vedas are concerned, it's not there, explicit. So how do you recognize? Okay, you see the symptoms of, you see the signs, bodily features. Simple. And all bodily features were there, all signs were there. All great persons, they have 32 signs. 32 signs. If there are 32 signs in that person, he is a great person. Krishna is the greatest person. So, Srimati Kunti claims herself unfit to see the Lord because of her being a woman. Suddenly, point changes. Huh? I don't know why it changes, but perfect point changes. Ravana takes another point here. Kunti claims herself to unfit to see the Lord because of her being a woman. Of course, you know what? This Bhagavatam, this is the first prayer of a devotee recorded in Bhagavatam. This is first canto, first prayer. It starts with a woman. It doesn't start with man. So, woman liberation or something like that. But it is point to note, you know, this is woman speaking. And why Sukadeva Goswami, he starts Bhagavatam with the prayers of a woman? He could have started Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruv Maharaj. There's so many great devotees. We start with Kunti. Because Srimati Kunti, she is a special devotee. And why she is special? Because she witnessed the pastimes of Hastinapur. Krishna was in Hastinapur. Kurukshetra she witnessed. She also witnessed the pastimes of Vrindavan. She used to go to Vrindavan regularly to meet Yashoda, Rohini, Vasudev. She was going. How do we know that? We know that by these prayers. It will come here. I don't know whether that verse is gone or not. That verse is there. Yad bibheti soyam bhayam. You have read this? I don't think so. It's gone. Yeah, it's just started. One verse will come where Kunti Maharani will be praying to Krishna. Krishna, even fear personified fears you. So why does she pray like that? Because at that time she was in Vrindavan at the time of Damodar Leela. When Yashoda Maa is dying, So that she was witnessing that, and Krishna was fearful. And that time she composed this prayer. This prayer is composed at that time. That verse, that specific verse, that you are fearful of Yashoda, but Krishna fear personified fears you. I can't understand this. This is bewildering to me. How is it? And that's why Kunti Maharani is very special. She is in both, she witnessed both pastimes. She also witnessed the last pastimes of Krishna in Dwarka. Also, she was going to Dwarka. There's no other devotee who had witnessed so many pastimes. Yashoda Maa and Nand Baba, they witnessed only Vrindavan. And others, all queens of Krishna, only Dwarka. Mathura devotees, only Mathura. But she was special. That is why Sukadeva Goswami starts with the prayers of Kunti. And she claims herself unfit to see the Lord because of her being a woman. Actually, being a woman, people think it's a curse in India. And even previously, around 800 years back, Islam, females were buried alive. And people used to exploit. But being a woman is a disadvantage also, according to Srila Prabhupada, because she has to be protected, you know, so many things. Male can just do anything freely, that's one thing. But it can be an advantage.
In bhakti, right?
In bhakti. Because she can think, you know, that fine, I don't have super brains, I don't have energy, my body is not strong, I'm a female. And I'm so weak. So Krishna, please accept me. She can use her womanly shyness, womanly nature, to nourish her humbleness, no? That she can do. So Kunti Maharani is, anyway, Kunti Maharani, of course, one point is that it doesn't matter whether you're a woman or male, yeah?
I always thought it was women are already naturally kind of in the heart, you know?
Yeah.
It seems like they can, for a man, men are usually up in their head.
So that point I'm bringing. So yeah, woman is more emotional and man is more intellectual. Yeah. But anyway, it doesn't matter whether you are, ultimately it doesn't matter whether you're a woman or male, because ultimately, sometimes emotions can be, it can block your devotion also.
Perhaps there is a worthwhile distinction between matters of the heart and matters of emotion. I myself, being quite an emotional person, in my brief education here, I'm starting to realize that these emotions are actually not in my heart. These emotions are actually in my head.
Now emotions are all from materialistic platform. That's one thing. And real emotions are from spiritual platform. But we can use them in service of Krishna. That's all. We can use everything in service of Krishna. So Kunti Maharani, anyway, she is claiming herself unfit to see Lord because of her being a woman. Kunti Maharani is humble. That's all. She is accepting the fact, I'm a woman. I can't see you. And you know why she is saying? Because at this point of time, Krishna is about to leave Hastinapur. Is it? Here? He's going to Dwarka. And he is sitting on the chariot. Sataki is there. He is standing. And then some person is holding umbrella. People are around him, Pandavas and all those. Kunti Maharani, because of a female, she is behind. It was not the Vedic culture for a woman to go ahead. And that is why she is saying, see, I'm unfit. So many males, so many important person, I am sitting behind. I can't meet you. In front of everybody, I can't even hold your feet up. I can't touch you. So, I am unfit. Unfit. This is how a devotee should think. We should never think we are fit to meet Lord. When we come in front in morning for Mangal Aarti, yeah, we are happy Krishna is there. By the same time, we should know that Krishna, we are unfit to see you. By your own grace, you have given your darshan. Darshan? You understand darshan? You have given your darshan. I am not qualified to have that darshan. That we should always remember that. And that's how we can offer our gratitude to him. Always, no? That feeling of unfitness is more important. That feeling of impossibility to attain Krishna is more important than the feeling of meeting him in the temple. So that's what is devotion all about, that Krishna likes. This is claimed, Prabhupada gives a reason. This is claimed because women, Shudras, Duja Bandhus, or wretched descendants of higher three classes, are unfit by intelligence to understand the transcendental subject matter concerning spiritual name, form, and pastimes of Supreme Absolute Truth.
What is the name that you just said?
Duja Bandhu.
Are those ones that Prabhupada describes as intellectual pretenders?
No, not pretenders. Duja Bandhus are those who are friends of Dujas, Brahmanas. Who are friends of Brahmanas, who are friends of intellectual people.
Intellectual,
but they are not actually intellectual by association. They acquired the trait, but they are not actually intellectual. So they are Duja Bandhus. So, Prabhupada says, women are unfit by intelligence to understand transcendental nature. So, what are you doing here? Well, the point is, we have to understand like that. They are unfit means... spiritually, materially, women can be more intelligent. No problem. There's so many females, you know. They're much ahead, you know, CEOs or so. That can be. They can be more clever. But they're less intelligent because, not because of intelligence, but because women tends to be more emotional. And emotions can lead to attachments to matter. And it does. It does. And that attachment impedes devotion. That is why and impedes spiritual intelligence. Is it? Attachment blocks spiritual intelligence. So that is the disadvantage of being a woman. It's natural. Woman always thinks of her husband, children, or her house, or her body. So it is said by Chanakya Pandit. Chanakya Pandit, you know Chanakya Pandit? Chanakya Pandit is a big politician, big philosopher. He said, he was blessed by Saraswati, and he said that women are 9 times more attached to matter than males. And you know what? It is a disadvantage in spirituality, but it is required. Because if she is not more attached to material world, to matter, she can't take care of children. She can't. She has to be more emotional. That she is made like that. Because male cannot they cannot handle children, no? If any children comes, you know, if he's weeping, you know, and wife says, oh, just handle him. After 5 minutes, he'll get frustrated and get lost, you know, take care of him. But females can. So God has given qualities to everybody, not unnecessarily. It is required. It is required. We can't debase anybody saying, oh, they are bad. No, it's not like that. They're required. But the fact is, it sometimes becomes blockade and impedes devotion. Sometimes it impedes devotion. They're more attached. So attachment is pratikul. Pratikul means unfavorable for advancement in spiritual life. But if a female becomes a devotee, especially a Lord Chaitanya's devotee, she can use her attachment to matter to advance in spirituality. You know this? Lord Chaitanya has trained us to use all negative qualities also in service of Krishna. That's what I was talking about. That is why Bhagavatam says, Yajanti hi sumedhasa. Devotees are very intelligent, no? So how do you use that? You can say to Krishna, like Kunti Maharani is saying, see Krishna, by nature, by constitution as a female, I am more attached to matter. So I am not fit to see you. Please accept me. So she can use that to become more humble, no? If you are not attached, there's tendency to become proud also, no? Yeah, we are not attached. And yeah, we are so detached. And Krishna doesn't like pride, no? So it doesn't matter actually whether you are attached or not attached. What matters is how much proud you are and how much humble you are. So that's how devotee uses everything in service of Lord. And you see, in South India, there were many saints, Alvars. You know Alvars? There were many Alvars. Alvars. And there were many Shudras, like Ramanacharya's guru, Mugashtipun, Mahapun. Many of them were from Shudra family. And Krishna liked them. Because they used this to become humble. That's all. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, use everything to approach God. There's nothing in this world which cannot be used in service of God. Even smoking can be used in service of God. Even drinking alcohol can be used in service of God. How do you do that? We can't do that. Because we are not super elevated, no? But Paramahamsas, they know how to do that. They can use that. So just like Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he used, when Britishers came to Mayapur, he called British general to Mayapur. When he opened the temple, he served meat to them. He told, you know, these Britishers, because he wanted that his mutt to be authorized by a British general, he called from Calcutta, and then he asked his devotees, his disciples, okay, bring meat and give to them because they cannot live without meat. And if they become annoyed, then we lose this opportunity of establishing this Mayapur temple, which is a desire of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So he could do that. He knew how to do it. Yeah, but we can't do that. He can do because he is transcendental. He knows. So everything can be used in service of God. Everything. Well, yeah. I mean to say, illicit sex can also be used in service of God. You know this? Mm-hmm. It can be used. And there's a story in Puran for that. So there was one yogi. We all, I think you might have heard. There was one yogi who was dying because of cold. Yogis do not wear clothes, no, like just small cloth. He was just going to die. So one king was going on the horse. And he saw, and that yogi was, he was a big yogi. And he told, what to do? He'll die. So he asked her daughter to sleep with him. So that he gets heat, body heat. And that is the only way to save a person if your temperature goes down. If it goes down hypothermia, you can't use fire to heat that person. It's impossible because you need contact. So he has a daughter, prince, and princess, that princess, she told, okay, fine, this is my service, and he can be saved. And that service. So that's illicit sex, but it is used in service of Krishna. So you see, everything can be used. But for us, there is, you can't say drugs can be used and you can go to Hateshwari, what was that? Hateshwari Street. Okay, everything can be used. So, but we should understand this point. We are not to imitate this, but we should understand whatever is not used in service of Krishna, it will come back to us. It will come back to us and make us fall down. So, In our vision, we should understand everything is property of God. Everything is for Krishna. At my level, I don't know how to engage everything in service of Krishna. So let me follow the guidelines given by Acharyas. This is how we should understand things. And then we'll not hate anything. No? Otherwise, we'll start hating. This is bad, this is good. This is bad, this is good. No, nothing is bad, nothing is good. That's what Mahaprabhu says. Ehi to Brahm. This is Brahm. This is your illusion that this is good, this is bad. We don't think in terms of good and bad. Devotee doesn't think in terms of good and bad. Devotee thinks in terms of what is engaged in service of Krishna, what is not engaged in service of Krishna. What is not engaged, how to engage it in service of Krishna. That's how devotee thinks, that's all. Favorable, unfavorable. That is what how we live. So, yeah, Kunti Maharani is intelligent. She's using her disqualification to please Krishna. Her disqualification is woman, less intelligence, but she is using this to please Krishna. This is nice, no? Yeah, this is. No. Oh, time is finished. I didn't even start. What's this?
Please, please. Oh, you hear the bell
ring. But we didn't even know, huh? We didn't even realize that. 25 minutes. Just passed by like that. It's funny. Yeah, it's nice to talk about Krishna. Supreme, such persons, although they are unfit to enter into spiritual affairs of the Lord, can see him as the Archvigrahe who descend on the material world just to distribute favors to the fallen souls. So people who are unfit, we are also unfit. Krishna, by his own mercy, comes in the form of deities. Archvigrahe. So, to favor, including the above mentioned women, Shudras and Dushabandhus. So, Archa means, Vigraha means form. And what does Archa means? Anybody can tell? Yeah, Archa is a Sanskrit word, which literally means bright, shining, Divya, Archa. From whom effulgence. So Archa Vigraha means there's an effulgence which has form. Understand? So the very term Archa Vigraha, it is there for Mayavadis, because Mayavadis like to say Krishna is light. He say, well, that light has a form. Don't worry about that. And we can see that. So that is Archa Vigraha. So that's favor to fallen souls, including the above mentioned Shudras, Omer, and Dvijabandhus. Because such fallen souls cannot see anything beyond matter, like us. If woman is fallen, we are more fallen than woman. No. If it's like that. The Lord condescends kyun keh rahe hain? Condescends agree hota hai. Condescension. Achha. Condescends to enter into each and every one of innumerable universes as Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. So he comes in universes, who grows a lotus stem from lotus-like depression in the center of his transcendental abdomen. Thus Brahma, first living being in the universe, is born. We all know this. Therefore the Lord is known as Pankajnabha. Pankajnabha, the Pankajnabhi Lord accepts Archvigraha in different elements, namely a form within the mind, a form made of wood, a form made of earth, a form made of metal, a form made of jewel, a form made of paint, a form made of drawn on stand. No, so we have known from Bhagavatam, the deities are of many forms. No? How many forms deities are there? Eight types of deities. And that's what Prabhupada gives example. It can be made of sand, it can be made of jewels, can be made of wood, Jagannath, Darubhram, can be made of metals. Some deities are permanent, some deities are temporary. Deities made of sand are temporary. So for example, Shiva Linga, if you go to a beach, you made of sand, worship and then destroy it. So like that. And so deities are categorized into temporary and permanent. And then deities are also categorized into present or not present. So for example, in Madhva Sampradaya, if you go, they worship Krishna. And in the night, they request Krishna to get out of the deities and sleep on the bed. So if you go to Udupi temple, altars are always closed, always open. Always open. If in the night 2 o'clock you go, altars are open. But according to them, Krishna is not there. Because through mantras, they request Krishna to come out of the deities and go in the bed and sleep. So he's there. So he's present and not present. That's how also deities are divided. And third type of deity. The two categories, temporary, permanent, present, not present. A third type of category of deities is deities in mind, wow. Mental form. Wow. That's also Archvigraha. So, in mind, people who are advanced, Krishna manifests himself in the mind, and people can worship in mind. And that is called Mansi Seva. But that is at higher platforms, those kind of things. So that is what Prabhupada says. All such forms of Lord are always decorated with garlands of lotus flower. So Krishna has lotus flowers. Krishna likes lotus. Why? Why does Krishna like lotus? Why doesn't he like rose, lily, champak? There are so many flowers.
He appreciates the contrast of the of the very not necessarily impure but very messy, very dirty places. Its roots take.
Oh, okay. You are giving that example, huh?
I think also Radharani's eyes are like lotus, better than Radharani's lips.
Yeah, yeah. So because all the features of Radha and Krishna, they are like lotus. So as soon as he sees the lotus, he remembers Radha. Because lotus-like face, lotus-like eyes. So that's, he wants to remember Radha. Anything which remembers makes him.
He wants to even give birth as Brahma, as Radha. He's thinking of Radha.
Yeah, yeah. He's always thinking of Radha. That is why lotus. Always lotus. So. So that's the idea there. And there should be a soothing atmosphere in the temple of worship to attract burning attention of non-devotees. Burning attention. What is it? I can't understand. Of non-devotees always engaged in material wranglings. Burning attention, burning. What's that? We are burning attention of non-devotees. I don't know what's burning attention.
Burning attention is, that would be something that's usually intense. Most of us have some type of control over the attention that we give.
Really?
Whatever preferences. But a burning attention would be something that would be
burning attention.
Beyond the conscious control of the person.
Maybe you're right, yeah. You have to check, yeah, maybe, yeah.
You could also say a consuming or all-consuming attention.
Mm. The meditators worship a form within the mind. Therefore, Lord is merciful even to women, Shudra and Duja Bandhus, provided they agree to visit the temple of worship in different forms made for them. All these forms. Such temple visitors are not idolaters. This Prabhupada is refuting the point, idol worship. as alleged by some men and with poor fund of knowledge. That we understand. All great acharyas establish such temples of worship in all places just to favor the less intelligent, and one should not pose himself as transcending the stage of temple worship while one is actually in the category of Shudra or woman or less. But at the same time, we should know that deity worship is not for less intelligent people only from this purport. Okay, deity worship is for less intelligent people and one should not imitate to be advanced and worship in mind. And then Mayavadis will come, yeah, we have been saying all along, you know, deity worship is for less intelligent and we are more advanced, we are meditating. So no, deity worship is for less intelligent and even for Paramahamsas. All. It's for all. Well, I'll just finish quickly. One should begin to see the Lord from his lotus feet gradually rising to thighs, waist, chest and face. One should not try to look at the face of Lord without being accustomed to seeing the lotus feet of Lord. So one should first try to serve Lord and then see his face. Srimati Kunti, because of hearing, aunt of Lord, did not begin to see Lord. Hare Krishna. We'll see Lord now.